Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there, and thanks very much for joining us. A little bit later, we're going to talk about coffee and free advertising. But before we get there, let's head to sea. Ballycotton Sea Adventures are after starting their season of lighthouse tours. They've been operating since 2018. They're going from strength to strength. And Eddie Fitzgerald is tour guide on the Ballycotton Lighthouse Tour. He's previously a lighthouse keeper on the island. And he, as we prepare to talk to each other, is getting the boat ready for the season to start. Eddie, how are you keeping, my friend?
I'm keeping very well, thank you very much.
I'm delighted to hear that. Now, you're all guns blazing from this weekend when it comes to Ballycotton Sea Adventure.
We are, John. Everything is 100% all guns blazing. Yeah, we're back in action as of from tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We're heading to the lighthouse. So we're delighted for that. We're all excitement.
Excellent.
All
excitement. And for those who are listening to this podcast, as we would describe it next week, that's from the 6th of July. And it's a busy summer season for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be very busy now. What we'll be doing now, Jonathan, we'll be doing during the week, we'll be doing 2 days, and then we'll be doing all the weekends as of from tomorrow on. So it'll be quite busy, and hopefully the weather will be kind to us, and we'll get out every day that we can.
Yeah, I mean, the weather, unfortunately, is the great imponderable. It hasn't been a great summer so far, but do you view that as a positive, that it has to get good at some point, Eddie?
Yeah, the weather. Yeah, we're in Ireland, you know. And if you live in Ireland and work in Ireland and do anything like our business in Ireland, you just have to contend with the weather, unfortunately. And we do. We try and get out as often as we can. And, you know, we see one of the things about our situation here, Jonathan, because we're offshore, so you have to have a little boat trip. And of course, that entails you can't, you know, we won't put anybody in danger. So if the weather isn't right, we won't travel, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, safety first, as always. But if you do get the weather and you do get out, boy, you have some journey ahead of you, don't you?
Yes. If they did. Like today, now, for instance, it would be gorgeous. The boat trip would be something to die for. People love the boat trip as well. And when they get into the, you know, it's very relaxed. When they get onto the landing at the lighthouse, they'll have a little siesta there before they head away up along to the, you know, up to the tower, up to the lighthouse itself. So it's very relaxing. The whole tour takes about an hour and a half, Jonathan. And, of course, you have a local guide travels with every tour. There's a local guide. So all the guides here in Ballycotton then have a real passion and a love for everything to do with the lighthouse, and they know all the history, and you know it's a very good tour, a very engaging tour.
Yeah, look, you know the lighthouse inside out, really, because you worked there, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I do. Oh yeah, I have fond memories of it. But back in the '60s, that's giving away my age now, Jonathan, but not to worry. Back in the '60s, yeah, I was so lucky to have spent some time on the island. I really loved it. Because Ballycotton is unique, even though it's an offshore lighthouse on an island, which is just 0.9 of a mile, you could say a mile from the pier. And even though it is so near, yet so far away, if you can understand what I'm saying. Because I remember when I was on it, I'd look ashore and I could see my mother putting our washing out on the line. So that's close, you know. So it's a unique lighthouse. It's because some of the other ones we'll say down the west coast, like the Fastet, the Bull, the Skellies, the Tyrus, any of these places. Once you're out there, you see no one. Whereas in Ballycotton, there were always somebody passing, some fisherman would call and maybe bring a newspaper, and the boatman at Ballycotton was very proactive, always dropping into the landing with something, one thing or another. So it was very, very unique station in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, you share the sea with others, and it's not unknown that you have a few followers on the boat as you're out on your tour.
One of the first things that will greet you when you land, we're very lucky. You could have one or two seals, and because this time of the year, the gulls are just after breeding now, and there's a lot of young gulls after arriving on the island. And also on the island is a herd of goats out there that, you know, were part of the lighthouse story as well. And people, children especially, they love to hear the stories about the goats and all of that kind of thing, and how the lightkeepers looked after them. And but, you know, they were so helpful to the lighthouse keepers back in the day for fresh milk. So it was it's a kind of a unique experience, really.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? And this has always fascinated me. Why is the Ballycotton Lighthouse black?
Good question. All lighthouses have some form of the paint on them, and it's specifically that's a, what they call a day mark. So to distinguish one lighthouse from another, they're painted different. Some of them, if you might have noticed, some of them would have white and black rings, they'd be red and white rings, and they'd be a complete white lighthouse. And Ballycotton is one of two black lighthouses in Ireland, Ballycotton here on the south coast and Slinehead on the west coast. And they're painted black specifically for a day mark. A ship back in the day coming up over the horizon would identify the black on the south coast of Ireland, the Black Tower. He'd know exactly that to Ballycotton.
So, in other words, it was the GPS of its day. By the sounds of it, it was the only thing that to tell you where you were if you didn't know where you were. Look, it's brilliant that you can do it. I'm presuming pre-booking is recommended, Eddie. Is it?
Yes, at BallycottonSeaAdventures.com. Yes, that would be. Yeah, it would. It is, and Ioana will talk to them and arrange for a tour. Yes, so. That's our website, BallycottonSeaAdventures.com.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting down to you guys at some point over the summer, weather permission, to go out and say hello to the seals, the goats, and I might get a dolphin as well if I'm really lucky. Eddie, best of luck with the start of the season. It's been lovely to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, that's brilliant, Jonathan. You'll be more than welcome down. We'll look after you and we'll bring you out and we'll make sure that there'll be dolphins, seals and everything. All kinds of marine activity when you come.
That's what we want to hear. Eddie Fitzgerald, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Bye-bye.
Now, Lincoln Coffee and the fantastic town of Youghal. The coffee market has featured a lot in recent years, and the World of Coffee Expo, one of the biggest events globally, took place in Copenhagen recently. The managing director of the Boardwalk Coffee Company in Youghal, Ger Flanagan, started out in an entirely different career, but now has his own roastery and restaurant and coffee station, has been showcasing Cork Coffee over there, and he's just back. Ger Flanagan, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks, Jonathan.
How well was the Cork Coffee received?
Yeah, we got a great reaction to the our coffee. This was in Copenhagen this year, the World of Coffee. 2 years ago, we went to Milan. But this is the first time we were showcasing our own coffee at the World of Coffee in Copenhagen. We had two coffees. We had a Colombian and a Rwandan coffee, and both went down very well. They were very, the quality of our coffee and the taste and that it got a great reaction, great positive response. So hopefully it will generate some orders down the road.
And did they know where Youghal was?
No.
So you've educated them twice on the quality of coffee and where Youghal is.
Yes, I think for a lot of people, it's the quality of the coffee, it's the quality of the roasting. We roast in small batches. We do a light to medium roast. We had a lovely Colombian Santuario, which we're serving ourselves here in our own coffee shop. And we also did a Rwandan batch brew, which is a specialty coffee, which we sell here in our own shop, but and we sell online. But it is, you know, a lovely African coffee and more of an acquired taste. A lot of Irish people like the Brazilian and the Colombian, the kind of chocolatey, nutty taste that comes through in the coffee. So, it was a great experience for us. Small roastery, great to be on the world stage, as it were. We're only 3 years in production, and to get to that level so quickly, I suppose, is testament to our roaster, who is Matteo Colacci. He's an Italian man. He's a Q grader, and he's very well respected within the coffee industry here around Cork and in Ireland generally.
Well, it's a fantastic achievement to get to that level, and particularly given that you're so new to the industry as well, because you were in printing. So when did you make the jump?
So I didn't make the jump, I suppose, in January 2021, I saw there was a big move towards specialty coffee. We're still in the printing business. We've got 12 employees in the printing business. We've got two newspapers, but we decided then on the 1st of March to set up a roastery. We went away and bought a 15 kg and a 500 gram Beshka roaster, bought them brand new, and we set up in Youghal. We started roasting our own coffee, and I suppose, you know, obviously the first thing we did was, you know, see if we could sell our coffee locally. We didn't have any success with any local coffee shops. They were happy with what they had. So we decided to open our own outlet. So we have a mobile outlet at the beach. And, you know, we opened a coffee shop then as well 2 years ago ourselves. We have about 20 outlets which we serve. We sell wholesale coffee to. And then we have another maybe 20 outlets who sell our retail bags, including Donnybrook Fair shops in Dublin, as well as a lot of outlets here around Cork.
I'm loving that. If you can't beat them, join them. And you managed to get around there. And to get into Donnybrook Fair means that you have a much broader audience than you had before. And you have, what, 3 branches to Boardwalk Coffee now as well, don't you?
We have 2 at the moment. We're opening a third one, hopefully in the next 2 months. And I suppose our ambition this year has been to export our coffee. And to that extent, we travelled a bit early in the year. We decided to upgrade our Beschger roaster for Probat. They're German made. They're one of the top 3 or 4 roasters machines in the world. So with the same beans, we're getting a better quality final product. And I think that's really propelled our coffee internationally. So already this year, we've been to the Czech Republic, Holland, Germany. We've been to the UK twice. We were at the Birmingham Food and Drink Expo with Taste of Cork stand. And that was a fabulous experience with the Enterprise Board. We exhibited at Dublin Coffee Festival. And then we exhibited the World of Coffee in Copenhagen last week. So, you know, we've got, we're getting good traction for our brand. It's been into being noticed and recognised, and I suppose obviously the long-term goal is that it will turn into sales internationally and jobs for the local economy here in York. Yeah.
I have to say, it's incredible that you have 2 businesses on the go. How do you find time for them both, Chair?
I suppose start early in the morning. I'm usually starting between 5:30 and 6. I've got a fabulous staff. I've got 2 wonderful managers in each of the coffee shops. I've got a fabulous manager here in the printing business. So I suppose it's really just the right staff. We've a large number of staff. We have, people who are, I suppose, who are passionate in what they do for us. Both in the printing and in the coffee business. And, we've got a fabulous roaster. And, I suppose it's putting all the pieces of the jigsaw together, and it's working out very well.
It really is a fascinating journey that you've been on. And I have to ask the obvious question. What's next? Is it just bigger roasters, more spread, more people enjoying your Rwandan coffee?
Yeah, I suppose really we just want to export it. We've certain targets which we want to hit. This year it's the first time ever we're going on a sourcing trip to Colombia, so we will visit directly with the farmers. We'll bring our own mini roasting machine there. We will sample roast some high micro lots, real high end coffee, and if we find one that suit us, we'll buy the full crop, and then that will come in and early in the new year, so we will have a coffee hopefully that nobody else has. And we really want to push the boundaries, go higher again with the standards and the quality. And quality is improving all the time, and I find quality is number one, I think, in most businesses. Quality, service and price, in that order, I find are very important.
All right, Chair Flanagan of Boardwalk Coffee, best of luck to you and the teams. Thanks so much for taking the time, Chair.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Now, Guaranteed Irish is celebrating its 50th anniversary. They've got a great new competition up and running, offering its members a chance to win $50,000 in a communications campaign to recognise their contributions and commitment to collaboration with other Guaranteed Irish members. Let's talk to the chairperson of Guaranteed Irish, Damian McCann, who's also the chief commercial officer of Viatel Technologies, which has a really strong base here in Cork. He's a member of Cork Chamber of Commerce. Damian, how are you keeping?
Thank you for the invite onto the show. Delighted and doing very well on this side.
Now, you have taken on this chairperson role. How come you ended up with that one?
John, I've been involved with Guaranteed Irish now for a number of years, and the board of directors, we've a fantastic board of directors, with representatives from all parts of business across, including the likes of Matheson, KPMG, Kingspan, SuperValue. And really, the opportunity came up, the previous chair's tenure had come to an end, and the opportunity came up to take the hot seat. So I jumped at the opportunity and delighted to be in the chair position for the next couple of years and work with the team in Guaranteed Irish. Fantastic team there, under the leadership of Breed O'Connell So yeah, delighted to be part of it.
Great. I have to say, our lads like me remember the old Guaranteed Irish logo being stuck on Jacob's biscuits. It's evolved a bit since the 80s, hasn't it?
It has come a long way. So we all remember that the Guaranteed Irish, the big G on our copybooks at school. And if we were at a local GA match, it was on the jerseys of every intercounty team, almost every intercounty team. So the G has come a long way, and its roots in, you know, protectionism here in Ireland. But now it's really a symbol of trust and a symbol of the future as such with Irish business. You know, and that's reflective in the current membership and the organizations that are part of the Guaranteed Irish story. You know, anything from, you know, the likes of Clonakilty there, Colette and the team do great work under the Guaranteed Irish banner in Clonakilty, to Flavin's, right the way to organizations like Viatel, tech companies, FBD Insurance, the likes of eShop World. So there really is such a broad mix of organizations. The position Guaranteed Irish and are really part of the ecosystem, doing business with each other and doing business under the banner, creating fantastic sustainable jobs here in Ireland.
Yeah, so, and that's I don't know, anyone who listens to this podcast on a regular basis knows lots of Irish companies have come on stream and some are doing really, really well. Are companies still joining? You mentioned a lot of what I refer to as legacy companies. Are you getting new companies signing up?
Yeah, so in terms of new organizations, you know, you have the originals as such are the legacy organizations, but like, for instance, some of the farmers, the likes of you know, just recently joined the board of directors, AstraZeneca, a fantastic organization that points you know, positions Ireland in the pharma sector very, very strongly, but also, you know, tech companies, the likes of Black Knight, Viatel, as I mentioned previously, eShop World. Like, these companies are the future of Ireland, you know, cutting edge software development that's happening here in Ireland, AI organizations, data centers and cloud technology organizations. So yeah, it's very much a mix of the traditional, you know, homegrown organizations that have been providing jobs in Ireland and supporting our communities for many, many years, but equally companies that have come about in the last number of years. So yeah, I would say it's a nice mix and a nice blend of the two.
Which brings us nicely to the competition, the 50-50-50 competition. Not quite 50-50 cashback as Bord Gáisiú has given us years ago, but what are you hoping to achieve and who's the competition open to?
Yeah, so look, Guaranteed Irish is now 50 years, you know, 1974 it started out, right up to the present day. So it's 50 years, and to do that, we're celebrating by giving 50,000 euros communications campaign out to a lucky winner. The organization, or the criteria to be part of the competition, your organization must have 50 or more employees, be a current Guaranteed Irish member, the likes, you know, as I mentioned, all those great brands, be a current member in 24-25, and demonstrate how you've supported other Guaranteed Irish members in your supply chain. So have you, you know, done business with other Guaranteed Irish members? You know, are you sourcing your canteen porridge from Flavin's, or your data center connectivity from Viatel, or your insurance from FBD? You know, an ecosystem that we're doing business together, and under the banner of Guaranteed Irish, we all stand for all together better. And, you know, if we start working together, we can have and continue working together, we can have a huge impact locally and internationally in our economy. You know?
Okay, well, so, the website, if you want to go and look at it and find out more, it's guaranteedirish.ie, and the details of the 50-50 competition are there as well. Damien McCann of Viatel Technologies, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Marita Kelly was our producer. Red Business in Focus, our video podcast series, is up and running right now on redfm.ie. We'll catch you on the next one.
Get the Red Business podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.